Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for revelation that pours forth from my lips. I thank you that it will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. I place a demand on the revelation that you have given me, on the grace that you have given me to teach and to speak prophetically and to be a revelator and a dismantler and an igniter and a prophet to your people. God, I thank you that the supernatural is our normal and we experience the power of your kingdom every day and every moment of our lives. I thank you that because you are faithful in the past, you're faithful in the present, you're faithful in our future, you're faithful all the time. And so, Father, as a result of what you're going to share today, we are transformed, we will be changed, we will step into 2024 with power and authority and confidence. And if you agree, say amen. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, I just got to say it one more time because we need to clap for the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ayana, it is well. Your 2024, I'm just going to go ahead and prophesy. Your 2024 is going to be way better than 2023. 2023 for you was like this. 2024 for you is going to be like this. There's going to be heights that you are going to experience that you would have thought that you thought you weren't going to experience before. There were things that you had to walk through in 2023 and you were like, is my life going to be better than this? Or I just got to push. I just got to fight. I'm telling you, 2024 is the time for where you will not have to fight about a thing. Things are going to just... I don't want to sound churchy, but there's an elevation in 2024, and it's not like you going uphill. There's going to be like just a smooth elevation, a smooth place of walking into all that God has for you. And the only condition is you got to stay in his presence. You got to stay in his presence. You got to keep seeking, keep hearing, keep walking out what he tells you to do, but you got to do it confidently. Because the enemy tried to break your confidence in 2024, but I declare to you today that the thing that tried to break you is broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This mic sounds a lot echoey all of a sudden. Something just happened. Hallelujah. James, something just happened. This sounds more echoey than it just did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because you're not going in 2024 weak. You're not going in defeated. You're not just crawling in. It's like, oh, Lord, give me another word so I can make it. You're going in strong and confident because you are the army of God that he is called to raise up. And everything that wasn't settled in 2023 is being settled right now in Jesus' name. There's some things in the hearts of people that have to be settled. Keith, there's some things in your hearts that have to... I'm gonna delete this. There's some things in your heart that have to be settled. And I'm telling you that between now and midnight tonight, the Lord is going to speak to you and settle some things. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, I heard Kelvin say, you are the man of God, and be settled in it. Come on, Kelvin. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. All right, so in Genesis chapter 1, let me show you this about time. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 14. Genesis chapter 1 and 14. See, time is a created thing. And we can step into what God has for us And we don't have to wait on certain times. We just have to be in alignment with his divine timing. You get what I'm, you catch that? Catch that by the Spirit of God. Because God exists outside of time and eternity. He created time, so time is a created thing. We are in Christ, right? And it's, the scripture says our lives are hidden in Christ, in God. And where is God? Outside of time. Which means that we can function. We have our supernatural existence outside of time, and then we move in timing, which is not bound by time, but is orchestrated in time for God's purposes and plans. These are called kairos moments. They are divine appointments. And we function and we step into these divine appointments at the right earthly time in order for God's purposes and plans to be fulfilled. But time is not a limitation, it is a tool. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and morning, and there was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." Now, there had been evening and morning three different times before the sun and the moon and the stars were even created. And the sun and the moon and the stars is what we use to govern time. So we see time was created right here in verse 14. But how, Kelvin, did God make there be evening and morning three times before time even started? See, a lot of times we want to, we approach a new year thinking that just because the calendar changed, that things will change. But the change of calendar is only the change on your clock. It only indicates somebody is sending you a new calendar if they still send out paper calendars. It only indicates something on your phone changes. But things in your life don't change because of the calendar. They change because of the spoken word of God. And there are things that God has spoken that will take place in 2024 for you, but there are also things that God has spoken that you can reach into eternity and pull into your now even before something in 2024 hits. Let me give you an example. In Isaiah, you got to help me find this scripture, Pastor Deborah. In Isaiah, he was prophesying about Jesus, and we quote this all the time, about when Jesus healed. It says he was wounded for our transgressions, chastised for our peace, punishment that was upon him, by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah said are, meaning present tense, we are healed because of what he was prophesying about Jesus. Now remember last week I shared that Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That's what it says in Revelation. Isaiah tapped into that revelation and said, because the lamb had been slain before the foundation, that means by his stripes, we are healed. But then when Jesus walked out being slain in the earth, remember it was done in eternity first, but then now when he walked it out in the earth, And he was crucified, and the scripture says, at the right time, he was crucified. And now Peter says, by his stripes, we were healed. Now, to the natural mind, that would look like a contradiction. But to those who have a spiritual discernment, you can say it's not a contradiction. It is the reality that during the time of Isaiah, under the old covenant, he superseded the law and tapped into something prophetically and made it his reality. And then after it had been executed, Peter was like, look, I just got to let you know it has been executed, so it is done. You were healed. You don't have to ask for a healing. You already were healed. And so there are things that we can tap into in the realm of the spirit that we can pull into our now, even before an appointed time. There is a set time and appointed time for some things, but there are some things God will let you get a taste of before that appointed time. But we have to handle it a certain way. Because sometimes we get a taste of something before we're supposed to get it, and then we run with it like it's the whole thing. So we have to have the right posture to recognize I am tasting and I am seeing that the Lord is good.
Come on.
Glory. Hallelujah. So let me show you something else. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Because one of the things the Lord spoke to me this morning is that we have to be prepared to step in to 2024. We can't just approach it like the world does. Like we're going to just, watch the celebration and be like, Happy New Year, and all of that. We gotta prepare differently. Because 2024 has a greater significance for the believer. And I would tell you this, it has greater significance for those who have spiritual discernment. Because there are different levels of believers. Because everybody who believes ain't believing in the same way. Some believers believe just enough to go to heaven. Others believe enough to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And there are some who don't want to engage in the supernatural. And there are some is like, look, give it all to me. But I tell you, the supernatural is a necessity for our life as a believer because the kingdom of God is supernatural. So to totally understand the kingdom, we have to understand the workings of spiritual law. And we have to be, because the Bible says in Corinthians that things that is spiritually discerned and cannot be comprehended with the natural mind. And this is why I believe in 2024, there's going to be an increased level of discernment that's going to be released upon this people. Because one of the things I've been hearing is discernment. There's going to be greater discernment released upon the people, not just discerning the truth and discerning of spirits, but there's going to be a heightened discernment, period, that's going to operate in every aspect of your life. Because some people limit discernment to discerning demons. Well, we can discern a demon, but more importantly, we need to discern the move and the wind and the breath of God. And we need to be able to discern the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Discern the difference between what's of the soul realm and what's of the spiritual realm. Even though the soul is a spiritual substance, but the soul realm comes from a person's mind, will, and emotions. The supernatural substance of God comes from his mind, will, and emotions. Is different. And so we have to walk in this greater level of discernment in 2024, not just because of what may come upon the earth, but because our success is predicated upon our ability to follow our blueprint. We have to follow our specific blueprint, our specific plan, and we can't be distracted by what other people are doing, other people are saying, or even what the people who are in relationship with us are doing. Because my blueprint, even though I'm walking with Kelvin, we're in covenant relationship with God and one another, and even though we're walking this thing out together, The Lord, his specific blueprint may be slightly different than mine because we are different members of the same body. But if I say, well, God told Kelvin to do this certain thing a certain way, but I'm not secure in mine, and I'm like, ooh, he's doing it his way, God is moving, let me do what he's doing, guess what? I'm going to miss my assignment. Thank you, man. I was looking at a picture the other day, Kelvin, of me and you at Orion. We were standing in the hallway like this. Posted up. I remember we were on assignment together at that school. Still on assignment. And so we have to be clear on what our specific assignment and what's in our blueprint so that we can be right in step with God. And so our synchronicity with the Lord will be in alignment with the synchronicity of those we are in covenant relationship with. See, we can't be in sync with those we are walking with, and we can't be in sync with apostle, or we can't be in sync with the others in this fellowship if we are not in sync with what God is telling us. So we have to have the discernment, and I heard one person say it this way, follow the cloud, not following the crowd. Because the crowd will move one way, but the cloud may not even move at all. Come on. Moses said, look, if your presence don't go, I ain't going. And then, remember this, when Israel refused to go in, when they finally said, okay, you know, Moses said what was going to, spoke, you know, what the Lord told him to say about what would happen, how they would be in the wilderness. They said, oh, okay, we'll go ahead and go. Let's go ahead and go now. And Moses said, nope. Things have shifted. Don't go. And they went anyway. And Moses didn't. He stayed right where he was. And when they came back defeated, Moses said, I told you not to go. He had a I told you so moment. But he was like, I told you not to go. See, sometimes we have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Thank you, Jesus. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 says this. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So before we were placed, before we were formed in our parents' womb, our mother's womb, God knew us. Meaning before the natural ingredients to create a person could come together, God already knew us. And it says, and I love pointing out that past tense, and it's on the screen for you. It says, knew you. Past tense, knew. He said, I don't know you, I knew you, which causes me to know you. See, remember, God doesn't have to learn anything. All learning comes from him. We learn, we discover. God knows. He's all-knowing. He knows everything, about everything, because he created everything, is in charge of everything. So before we were born, he knew us. And then he says, before you were born, I consecrated you. So there was a setting apart before you were even placed in your mother's womb. So before you were placed in the realm of time, you had a relationship with God outside of the realm of time. And he selected you outside of the realm of time before he placed you in time. And remember, he placed you in time at the proper time so you could walk out days of the earth and have moments in the earth that were already predetermined as long as you follow him. That's it. And even though he gives us free will to choose, There's also, we choose to follow the script, or we could choose not to. It's like those actors in the movie, they can follow the script or they can ad-lib. And our free will gives us the choice to ad-lib or follow the script. So it's not like we don't have free will, because some people try to be deep and say free will is an illusion. Free will is not an illusion. But the relationship with God causes us to submit our choices to his will. Because we say in church, your will, your way. Have your way, Lord. And so the problem is that many have sung it but not walked it. But as believers, we not only sing it, we walk it. We're that generation that will cause the younger generation to see that there is a God, and church is not just some emotional high that we go to. That the gatherings of the people of God are essential to success. Because a generation that doesn't know the Lord, that has been discontent with the Lord, is because all they have seen is emotional responses to the word. They've seen hearers that rejoice at the word but have no root, and so when persecution comes, they fall away. Yep, form a godliness with no power. But we have stepped into a dimension where we not only have the appearance, we have the real thing. And we have stepped into a time of heightened demonstration of the power of God. And that's why we have to be aware of the spiritual realm and how things operate. And we have to be conscious of when things are happening and things are coming, what really is the source. So we can address the source and not the person. Because some stuff ain't people. Some stuff is just demonic manipulation of people, places, and circumstances. See, what I want for you is that when you go on Tuesday, when you go to work, I want demons to scream and run from you.
Come on. All right.
Because of the power of God on your life. I want people who have ill intent, Jewel, to not even come your way in school.
Come on, that's right.
Because of the grace of God on your life.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
But that comes from a revelation of who Christ is and an understanding of who we are in him, and recognize that we were set apart, so it's okay to be different. I don't have to feel lonely because I've been set apart. I've been set apart so I don't have to feel like I've been forgotten about, because I've been set apart. I don't have to do anything to prove anything to anybody, because I've already been consecrated and set apart. I don't have to try to mimic what other people do, because I've been set apart. I just have to walk out what the Lord is telling me to do, because I've been what? Set apart. And I declare prophetically, no more stagnation in your relationship with God. No more hearing and forever, you know how the scripture says, forever learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. I declare that that's over. That you're going to have fresh ears to hear. That you won't have an emotional response to the word that you hear, but you will have a submitted and you have the ears, your heart will be good ground, and you will not respond out of your flesh. You'll respond out of your soul to the word. And then your flesh will be impacted. So Jeremiah was set apart. And then notice this. It says, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So the call of God was placed on your life before you were even placed in your mother's womb. So you don't have to worry about or be concerned about other people seeing it.
That's it.
All you have to do is follow the script. People gonna see it, whether you have a title or not, whether you put it on your business card or not, whether you create a website about it, whether you get on YouTube and start saying, listen, children of God. I mean, regardless of all those things, whether you do those things or not, when you just obey what the Lord is telling you, people gonna see it. You don't have to engage in self-promotion, because the Lord is already promoting you as you walk out purpose and destiny. Can I show you something else? I got like 10 minutes, I think. Because I just want to encourage you. Because I believe God is, well, I won't say I believe. I'll say it this way. I know God is inviting us to a greater place of maturity. And we have to recognize. Now, when I say this, I don't want you to be like so super serious that you're so tense and uptight. But we have to recognize the seriousness of walking with God. The intentionality of being selected by God. And the weightiness of the assignment of God. And the privilege of having relationship with God. Because of the days and times we live in, there are certain things we have yet to see that we read about, and we people can approach God casually because they don't see certain things. People don't approach, like here, we can just walk in and worship. In the Old Testament, they couldn't do that. But because we are under a new covenant, we take for granted the freedom that we have in Christ to approach him at any time. Because in the Old Testament, they couldn't approach God at any time. Even the priests who were chosen, even if they'd done all the things to be cleansed, they still had to wait on a certain time to go into the Holy of Holies. Now, we still serve the same God. But he made it to where we can approach him anytime, at any moment, and we can experience his presence uninhibited. So we want to have a greater sense of awe, a greater sense of gratefulness, and a greater sense of appreciation about this God, because we don't serve a fake God. We don't deal with philosophy like the Greeks dealt with philosophy. We don't deal with just some spiritual substance like Hindus and Buddhists and following the teachings of someone wise. We don't have to try to clear our minds to become one with the universe like the spiritualists and the occult. We don't have to wait to a certain time of day to burn incense and put candles and all of those things. And we definitely don't have to barter with Satan for prosperity in the earth and succumb to being a part of some kind of organization and go through some kind of ritual. We don't have to do that. We have a loving God who is all powerful, all knowing, that wants us to approach him, that gave his son Jesus for everything we have ever done or ever will do. And we can approach him confidently And then he says, you are my governing body, my representatives, my ambassador. You bear my name in the earth. And so we have to recognize the weightiness and the importance of bearing the name and the presence of God in the earth. Because what happens when we go a place, we don't go, even though we go there in the natural, we don't go there as natural people. Because we bear the name of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. And when we speak, it is just like Jesus speaking. So in 1 Corinthians 13, this is what it says. And I'm going to read to you I'm going to start at verse 9 for the sake of context, but I really want to highlight verse 12. It says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." So no matter how detailed the prophetic word is, it's only a part. It says, "But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child." See, there's a place when we spoke, reasoned, and thought at a way that was considered to be like children. Now, we know that's true to be natural, because you know, when we were kids around this time of the year, we was thinking about who was going to give us the best gift. We knew the ones. We knew the auntie that was going to give us a good gift, and we knew the auntie that was going to give socks. We knew. We already knew. Yep, that auntie's going to give me the G.I. Joe. That one's going to give me a pair of socks. And so, but around this time as adults, we don't think about who's giving socks. We're thinking about who can I be a blessing to. So there's a shifting that came with maturity, right? Now, in the realm of the spirit, there's a shifting that has to come with maturity. That we can't think, speak, and reason like we did in one place with God when God has invited us to walk at another place. And this new place has to change the way we think, we speak, and we reason. We even reason at a higher level when we walk in this new place with the Lord. You guys follow me? And it says, "When I became a man, I did away with childish things." Notice he said, Paul is writing and said, "I did away." There are some things before midnight, you're going to have to do away with. You're going to have to make the decision, I'm done with this. Old habits, old mindsets, you're going to say, I'm done with it. Old behaviors, I'm done with it. Foolishness that you may have been dealing with that's been coming to you, you're going to have to say, I'm done with that too. So you're going to have to do away not just the things that you initiate, but there are some things that get initiated to you, and you're going to have to declare in the realm of the spirit, I'm done with this. And I'm going to tell you, you can't wait on God to remove it. You have to say, I'm done with it. Because this scripture, Paul said, I did away. And then he says this, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then," check this, it says, "then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known." Check out that last part. It says, "just as I also have been fully known." You are already fully known in heaven. And Paul is saying there's going to be a point in time where I fully know heaven. And I fully know, or as much as I can fully know God. He said, but I'm already fully known. So you're already fully known by God. You were already set apart by God. So you have to remember that you are not forgotten. How can you be forgotten and you're fully known? And God knew you before time was created and put you in time to use it as a tool to fulfill purposes and destiny. Glory to God. Hallelujah. One last thing before we get ready to go. Because time is our tool, and because we haven't been forgotten, we have to recognize that we, as we continue to do good, there is a due season. That we cannot be weary in doing good. Because there's a due season for us. Let me read this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. A lot of times we hear this in terms of giving and sowing, which is true. But I want you to recognize that the things that your acts of obedience that you've done in 2023 were a seed for a harvest that you're going to receive in 2024. Because sometimes we have an act of obedience, and there are times where we'll see the result of it right away. But there are also some times where we don't see the result till a little bit later. That thing has to marinate. So in Galatians chapter 6, glory to God. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 6. Yes, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. I mean, we can pause right there. For all the folks who've been thinking they can mock God, Scripture says God is not mocked. And just know that God is just being gracious and kind and giving them opportunity to come to the truth because he desires that no man be lost. But you got to know that there will come a time when that thing may be kind of different because God ain't going to, he is not mocked. I'm not going to, okay. And so it says, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Whatever is sown, not just the good stuff, but if someone has sown discord, if they've sown confusion, if they've been speaking word curses, not even knowing it was a word curse, because let me tell you this, a word curse is any word that doesn't bless, any word that's not a word of faith, any word that is not what God has said, that is what spiritually is a word curse. A word curse is not just an incantation. A word curse is being loose with the lips and speaking something out of alignment than what God would say in that moment. This is why we're going to see, when the Lord said due season, we're going to see some due season happening for some folks in 2024. And so as a believer, it is very important to recognize this so we know, look, if I said something I wasn't supposed to say, I'm going to take authority and curse those words, and then I'm going to repent to the Lord. Because you don't want to be reaping something that you shouldn't have to reap, along with reaping something you should be reaping. So it says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. God is not mocked. Whatever is sown is going to be reaped. And if it doesn't happen, then it'll be a mockery to God. Isn't that serious? This is why we have to be, yes, careful, slow to speak. And when things come to us, we have to be quick to repent. And after we repent, let me give you this spiritual strategy. You have to take authority of the words that you released and cancel them. And command that they will not bear forth fruit. Because they're not going to bear fruit in the life of the person you spoke wrongly of. They're going to bear fruit in your life because you're going to reap it. So then it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows, now this word flesh there is not talking about the physical body. It's talking about flesh, meaning operating in your soul realm at a place lower than the supernatural of God. And then it says, but the one who sows to the Spirit, talking about Holy Spirit, will from Holy Spirit reap eternal life. Then it says, let us not lose heart in doing good. King James says, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired in doing the right thing. Don't get tired in walking by faith. Don't get tired in speaking the right thing. And some of you don't get tired in holding your tongue, because there's a lot you could say, but you just hold it. Don't get tired of doing that. It says, because for in due time, or the King James says due season, we will reap if we do not grow weary. It says in due time, we will. It didn't say might, it says will. And I'm telling you, as we step into 2024, it is a due time, and there is a will reaping that will occur. But you can't get weary. That weariness will get you out of alignment. It'll get you out of the place of faith, and it'll prevent you from reaping. Your harvest is like your harvest will be coming to the earth, and it's like playing dodgeball. You'll be ducking it and not even know it. Glory to God. Amen.